Voices.Earth podcast series is brought to you by the .Earth domain. In each episode, we shine a light on organizations and individuals who are part of the growing .Earth tribe, as well as those outside of our tribe who are all making our planet a better place. In this Voices.Earth podcast interview, we're speaking with Nick Hassam, co-founder of Reask.Earth, which is a technology startup servicing the global insurance industry in the field of catastrophe risk management and forecasting. And Nick, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thanks, Matt.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And let's start at the top. Tell us a little bit more about Reask, the company's history, and your offerings for the global insurance industry.
Yeah, sure. That'd be good. I guess the starting point is my background, which is in geographic information systems. And over the last sort of 16 years, I've been involved in utilizing spatial science and analytics in the insurance industry to help insurance organizations better understand catastrophe risk. And the reason that insurance companies want to do that is because they're heavily exposed to quite a wide range of catastrophes in the forms of natural hazards from things like floods, earthquakes, tropical cyclones. And what they want to do is they want to better understand how these natural hazards work and how they might be affected by them. So to do this, they use a range of different tools, including a concept known as catastrophe models, which have been around since the late 1980s. And these are models that help them to understand the frequency and the severity of extreme events. And throughout my career, I've been involved in building these models for a number of different organizations around the world. Co-founder Thomas Loredan, who has a bit of a similar background to me, and I met at a catastrophe insurance conference about 18 months ago. I was speaking on disruption in catastrophe modeling. Thomas was talking about the use of machine learning in catastrophe modeling, which is sort of along the lines of what it is that we're hoping to do. And we continued the discussion sort of during the conference and following the conference and started coming up with some potential products and services that we thought might be useful for the market. I guess what we sort of saw initially was some limitations in the current approach to building catastrophe models that both of us had experienced in our careers. And those were sort of the time taken to build and update catastrophe models, the costs associated with organizations actually licensing the models, their coverage in terms of the sort of the specific geographies and perils that they actually cover, and the capabilities that they have, many of which haven't changed in 30 years or more. So we pulled together two other co-founders, Eugene and Nico, who have similar backgrounds in data science and catastrophe risk modeling, and formed Reask about 6 months ago. So in terms of what we do, we build hazard models for the global insurance industry using machine learning. We're interested in all Earth systems, and in the first instance, we're focusing on atmospheric perils and more specifically tropical cyclones. And we have two sort of very specific offerings. One is a more traditional probabilistic catastrophe model, which takes a long-term view of risk, and risk carriers or insurers use this to price insurance policies and manage a portfolio of insurance policies. And then in addition to that, we also have a forecasting product that enables us to produce a short-term seasonal view of tropical cyclone risk. And this helps insurers understand where their risk lies in the upcoming tropical cyclone season. So that's sort of a little bit about how we started out and the different offerings that we have for the market.
Wow, that's great stuff, Nick. It sounds like you're really fulfilling a much needed need in the marketplace. And I'm going to go off the script a little bit here, but in terms of like the machine learning system that you have, do you pull in open source geospatial data and just data from all different sources? Is that how that works?
Yeah, so we've got a lot of different sources for the information. Primarily, the key data source that we're using, global climate model data. So we utilize sort of the key sources of information for that. And we look at that information at a global scale. So we're looking at the entire Earth and trying to understand not just how tropical cyclones form in particular basins, such as the North Atlantic or the South Pacific, where we're actually trying to understand at a global scale how it is that these particular hazards are forming and trying to get a bit of an understanding of how they present themselves and also the relationships between them, because what we're interested in understanding are Earth systems as a whole and atmospheric sciences. The atmosphere is an Earth system and obviously has an impact across the entire globe. And we're interested in understanding how things work across the entire Earth.
Yeah. Wow. That's fascinating. It's basically really just trying to harness knowledge about Mother Nature, which is no shortage of a challenging thing to achieve. But it sounds like with the AI and your systems, you can achieve that. And this might be kind of a silly question, and maybe it's because we're all connected to our smartphones reading the news all the time. There does seem to be a rise of natural disasters, more cyclones, more hurricanes. You hear geospatial and defense intelligent leaders in the U.S. talking about climate change being a national security issue. Are you seeing this kind of in your research? And did this propel you a bit further or motivate you to start REASK?
Yeah, look, I think obviously having been involved in the insurance industry, I've been at the sort of the forefront of this for many, many years and have a sort of a keen sense that there is an increasing exposure to natural disasters. I think insurers are always going to want to understand how it is that they're exposed to catastrophes, and there is an increase in that exposure. I think it's important to understand that this doesn't necessarily mean there's an increase in natural disasters. Certainly in the case of climate change, there's a lot of science to indicate that there is increase in particular types of perils in some respects, and that might be an increase perhaps not so much in frequency, but in severity. There's a few different lines of thought there, but certainly it is evolving and changing. It's also important to understand that in many instances, the reason that there is an increase in exposure to natural disasters is actually a reflection of increases in things like the population and also physical assets moving to disaster-prone areas. So, for example, there were studies recently that show that despite, you know, the number of hurricanes hitting, say, for example, the Florida coastal region, there's been an increase in population in those coastal regions. So the actual number of hurricanes may not necessarily have increased over that time, but certainly the exposure to those catastrophes has as a result of people and companies moving assets to those areas. And certainly that's an issue in and of itself, independent of the sort of any particular change in the number of natural disasters. And that also happens a lot in emerging economies where you have floodplains that are very fertile and you have people sort of moving into those floodplains, and all of a sudden they're increasing the exposure to natural catastrophes. So it's a combination of things. It's things like population growth, urbanization are also contributing very heavily and in many respects much more so than changes in the climate. And it's important to understand that that is obviously a challenge as well. As the climate changes, you know, it's important for us to try and understand how that climate is actually changing the impact of natural disasters.
Wow, that's really fascinating stuff and very enlightening, and plays perfectly into the next question. And I assume you cover this in your 2018 Northern Hemisphere Tropical Cyclone Forecast Report, but would love to hear more about that report.
Yeah, absolutely. So we took a bit of a gamble and decided up front that we wanted to provide a forecast for the 2018 Northern Hemisphere tropical cyclone season. We have a background in risk, so we're quite comfortable taking risks, but we thought it would be useful to try and highlight that our methodology is a sound approach and provides good insight into tropical cyclone forecasting. The biggest challenge with seasonal forecasting, and this happens every year, in particular in the North Atlantic season that starts in June, the biggest challenge in seasonal forecasting is trying to identify early indicators of activity in what is a huge amount of climate data available. Traditional forecasting will take very specific indicators early on, such as sea surface temperature and some other concepts such as wind shear and the like, and utilize those indicators to try and determine what they think the upcoming season will be. Because our approach uses machine learning, we've taken a different angle in terms of how we look at the information, and we can use a much wider range of indicators given the significant volumes of information we can process to develop our forecast. So in the case of the North Atlantic, this meant that back in June, we had a slightly different view from the rest of the field in terms of other forecasters' estimates. And it turns out that our estimate, which was for a slightly above average season, is actually proving to be very good. And we still have, you know, sort of a little bit of time to run on the remainder of the 2018 season. And at this stage, it's looking like our forecast has been successful, certainly in terms of our expectations of the season itself, and also in terms of us learning how the forecasting process actually works. It's one thing to sort of sit in the lab and make estimations about how busy we think a tropical cyclone season might be, and it's something completely different to put those thoughts out there and actually put them up to the ultimate test, which is to test them in real time against the power of nature. So we've learned a great deal in this process, and it's been enjoyable sort of watching it evolve.
Wow. Yeah, that really interesting stuff. And I'm going to go off the script real quick. Is there anybody else out there offering these types of reports?
There's a range of forecasters that make estimates on the upcoming season, and it's a bit of a tradition to sort of for a lot of the research organisations and some private entities as well, as well as academic institutions, to actually put out forecasts. So we're part of a forecasting group which has a webpage that's run by Colorado State University, the Barcelona Supercomputing Center, and a commercial entity called Excel Catlin. And they have a website that has effectively a scorecard that shows all the forecasts for the upcoming season and how they're comparing against the long-term averages as well as the actual current situation. So there is a tradition of providing forecasts, in particular for the North Atlantic. So it's been good to see sort of how we compare to our peers and to sort of see how it evolves as that storm comes about.
Wow, interesting stuff. And also, too, I want to shift gears here real quick. Your website is reask.earth, and you are clearly a .earth domain name user. What made you all choose to use a .earth domain name?
You know, our solutions, we look at risks associated with Earth systems. There's a range of different Earth systems, the atmosphere, the ocean, the hydrosphere and geology, the geosphere. And we're interested in all of these systems. And we felt that the .earth domain was a good reflection, not only for our approach to Earth systems, but also in terms of our holistic approach to catastrophe risk management. We take a very global approach and we wanted to reflect that in our URL. And also we think it's a pretty cool domain. We always get good responses when our clients are made aware of what our URL is. And we think it's going to be something that our markets will remember and associate with our sort of global approach and indeed with what it is that we're trying to achieve.
That's fantastic. Love hearing that kind of feedback, Nick. Thank you so much for that. And what does the future hold for Reask?
Well, look, at this stage, we're building out solutions. We've just finished some significant sort of traveling period where we've been contacting partners and clients to make sure that the solutions that we're building are what it is that's required for the market. And we're busy sitting on in front of computers and telling machines to go off and learn some things and come back with products that we know we can sort of push out to the market. So we're very, very busy building and looking to sort of start rolling out our first iteration of the solutions that we have. We're also busy developing forecasts for the Southern Hemisphere. So obviously the Southern Hemisphere tropical cyclone season is up and coming. So we're looking at providing some solutions to partners for that. And just generally coming to grips with sort of being busy on a number of different things. So it's a building and developing period of time for us here at Reask.
That's great. Sounds like it's an exciting time and really appreciate your time today, Nick, in terms of speaking with us. And before we sign off today, is there anything else to add?
Yeah, look, I guess one last thing was that it's important to note there's many regions around the world that unfortunately don't have access to these commercial insurance solutions that we are lucky enough to have in more developed parts. And often those regions that don't have access to commercial insurance solutions are in emerging economies where people and organizations are already heavily exposed to financial challenges amongst a range of other issues. And it's worth noting there's a number of endeavors that try and tackle that particular imbalance, mostly in form of a concept known as disaster risk financing. So large organizations like the UN and the World Bank sponsor the development of financial risk transfer solutions in these emerging regions that look to reduce the financial impact of disasters. And the way that they do that is by understanding the potential for risk in these undermodeled regions. So it's one of Reask's goals to make models that address the shortfall in solutions in these emerging regions that will help facilitate the risk transfer of financial risk in these emerging regions to help people in emerging economies better recover and provide more financial resilience to natural disasters to which they are significantly predisposed. So it's worth knowing and noting that, you know, in addition to sort of the insurance industry and the commercial approach that we take to developing solutions for natural catastrophe risk, that we're also seeking to address some of the challenges that exist in the emerging world as well.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you for those additional insights right there. And that's a perfect end for this podcast. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Voices.Earth podcast interview with Nick Hassam, co-founder of Reask, which is a technology startup servicing the global insurance industry in the field of catastrophe risk management and forecasting. And Nick, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Thank you for listening to this segment. .earth is a real live internet domain that anyone can use. Listeners can go to our Voices.earth site to find out what others are doing with their unique .earth domains. Through Voices.earth, you can also secure your own .earth domain name through all major registrars.